Greetings, broadcasting from a post-apocalyptic bunker hiding from the wastelands above. This is the Rabbit Hole Wanderer Podcast. Welcome back, finally. It's been a long time. I'm your host, Brian, and this is the RHW Pod. It's been about 14 months since I put out an episode, I believe. The year 2020 was not kind at all. To anyone, it seems. Personally, my family had health issues that required me to spend more time at home. And we had some losses in our family as well. And don't even get me started on the pandemic. The year 2020 could not end quick enough, and I'm sorry that it has taken as long as it has to get back in the swing of things, but I assure you that the smoke is cleared, we open the hatch, and we are looking at the horizon of the apocalypse for the first time. But we are back. So much crazy things has happened in the absence of the show that we can cover, such as SpaceX, the government admitting to UFOs, government documents of extraterrestrials leaked, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I am just amped to see what we can get into. But tonight, we have to come back with a special guest on a special episode. Now, once again, lend me your ears as I take you on a journey into the mind-blowing and heart-stopping abyss we are going to cover tonight. Prepare yourself for the conspiracy theory of Flat Earth. Disclaimer: the following episode contains details that may be considered eerie, demonic, or just really freaking messed up.
Welcome back to the Rabbit Hole Wanderer Podcast. Tonight, I have a very special guest here to talk to you about why he believes the Earth is not as it appears to be. He is a well-known podcaster, author, and has made his way around the podcast circuit, spreading his reasoning as to why he believes in what he says is a global lie. Tonight, I am joined on this show with Mr. David Weiss of the DITRH show on YouTube. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. This is an amazing topic, and most people treat it with a lot of hostility when they first hear it. But once you look, you can't unlook.
I'm excited. As we've talked off the record here, I've done zero research because I wanted an open mind into all this. So I'm a blank canvas here. So I've always grown up knowing and hearing that the Earth is round and it's a sphere. So I am completely interested in hearing all your reasoning and research as to why you believe what you think.
Yeah, the amazing thing is that you're in the same boat with 99% of the population, which is actually diminishing. I don't know what percent it is anymore, but we are all brought up believing that it's a spherical heliocentric model, and none of us have done anything to verify it. We just believe, and belief is the enemy of knowing. So where do you want to start?
Well, why don't you tell everybody what it is that is the lie?
Sure. So when you think of flat Earth, we've all been programmed to think of a pancake floating in space. And, Bill Nye, the lying guy with the bow tie, has convinced everybody that, gravity doesn't work on a disc. If you walk to the edge, you'd have to lean forward. And all of that is what's called a straw man argument. And it's literally to keep your mind and make you laugh at Flat Earth. Anyone that has bothered to Google Flat Earth ends up at the Flat Earth Society, and that is a government-run disinformation site. Why does the government run a Flat Earth disinformation site? You got to ask yourself these questions. And so there's so much disinformation, you know, and then people say, well, Flat Earthers believe that the Earth is rising at 9.8 meters per second, and that's why we have gravity. No Flat Earther believes that. That is what globe believers believe. Flat Earth believers believe, and none of that is true. That's all, again, we're being gaslit right there, and strawman arguments. So what is the Flat Earth? You know, the first thing you have to realize is the heliocentric model has us spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. That means when you're watching the sunset, you have to believe that you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound. And while that's going on, you're orbiting around a burning ball of gas at 666,000 miles an hour. And while that's happening, you're chasing that ball of gas at 500,000 miles per hour. And while that all is happening, the entire system is moving sideways at over 1,000,000 miles per hour, right? All of this is happening, and none of it is noticeable by the human body, by people. That's giving up your common sense for nonsense. So what is the Flat Earth if it's not a disk in space where you get to the edge and you fall off? The Earth is best described, for lack of better words, as the basement of the universe. And we live in what's called the Antarctic Basin. What is that? The Antarctic Basin is where the water accumulates in the low spot in the land. Just like a puddle or a pond or a lake, it's a body of water in the low spot in the land where the edge of that lake is the higher land that's just higher than the water's edge. Very simple. Not the edge of a pancake, it's the edge of the lake. So if you look at the world's oceans as a giant lake, the land that surrounds all of that water is known as Antarctica. We live in the Antarctic Basin.
Okay. All right, I'm following you.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Okay, so...
Go ahead.
It's not... It's all surrounded by Antarctica. And the center of that is the Arctic Circle. Is that what I'm understanding correctly?
So very good. The center of the lake is the Arctic. And at the center of the lake, where no one's allowed to go, there's a mountain that's called, some people call it Mount Meru. But since it's off limits, it's really hard to say. But there's a magnetic force there that attracts, a magnetic north that attracts compasses. So if you're on the lake, let's say you're halfway between the shoreline and the middle, and you're holding a compass, that compass needle is going to point towards the middle of the lake, towards the magnetic pole. And if you try to sail 90 degrees east or 270 degrees west, you have to keep correcting to the north to maintain that heading because your needle needs to keep pointing towards the center of the lake. So east and west are circles around the magnetic center. Now, this doesn't prove that the Earth is flat because it's the same on a globe Earth, right? Although you can't live on a globe, but we'll get into that. So east and west are circles. Billions with a B, people have circumnavigated the world heading east or west. You could leave New York, head east, maintain that 90-degree setting in an airplane, and before you know it, you'll be back in California and back in New York without ever changing your heading. That's because you're making a circle around a magnetic center. It's very simple. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. So... since you mentioned the Arctic and the Antarctic, think about this. If you're in the Arctic Circle, that's, you know, north like Alaska and Norway, you're inside the Arctic Circle. The sun on the flat Earth circles around right now, we're heading towards the equinox, March 21st, and the sun is over the equator. So the equator is a circle on the flat Earth, an imaginary circle that's halfway between the shoreline and halfway between the center. That's the equator. It's when it's equal, halfway in, halfway out from its yearly track. Then there's a smaller circle inside of that called the Tropic of Cancer, and there's a larger circle outside of the equator called the Tropic of Capricorn. And the sun migrates in between those two tropics every 6 months. It goes from Cancer to, you know, in September, it's over the equator. In December, it's over Capricorn. Then back in March, it's over the equator. And back in June, it's over Cancer again. So the sun is migrating in and out. So now imagine this. It's spinning around, like, you know, the over the flat Earth, and you're in the Arctic Circle. Words have meaning. Arc. The sun is circling around you, towards you. Like if you held your arm out and drew a circle, that's an arc that comes towards you. Now, if you are in the Antarctic and you watch the sun circle around, it's an antarc. It's not going around you. It's going away from you. It goes away from you. So that's the Antarctic. They're telling us exactly what's going on.
Okay. So it peaks right above you and then goes away from you.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that it's right above you. It's only above you if you live in between the tropics. Like if you live in Miami on June 21st, the sun is directly above your head because you're right on the tropic, under the tropic of Cancer. And if you live on the equator, twice a year, the sun is over your head. And if you live in Australia, only on December 21st is the sun right over your head because it made its journey outward. So in December 21st, us in the north, we're cold because the sun is far away. It's out south and it's lower in the sky because it's farther away. Like if you had two airplanes flying in the air, paralleling each other, both at 10,000 feet or whatever, it doesn't matter. And one of them was directly over your head and the other one was 50 miles to the south. The one over your head, you can imagine being your summer sun. It's high in the sky. It's over your head. The other one, which is at the same altitude, is lower in the sky. It's farther away. It's your winter sun. But somebody underneath that one in the southern area is having their summer while you're having your winter because it's higher in the sky for them. It's all due to perspective and distance. It's how seasons work. And once you understand how seasons work, you realize that they don't work on a globe. They only work on a flat Earth.
Okay. I think I got a better understanding of what you're saying. I had to pull up a map here to understand more of your trajectory.
Yep. I created an app to help people learn because if you try to Google any of this, if you say, "Harry, top 10 reasons why flat earthers think the earth is flat," you're going to get top 10 reasons why the earth is a globe. And they're going to give you all the same old nonsense, like Sticks and Shadows by Aristophanes, the Greek philosopher, the Greek mathematician, or Boats Over the Horizon, or Sunsets Over the Ocean, or Seasons, which I just described to you. And you're going to get all of this propaganda. If you can even search for some of the greatest flat earth videos out there by name and channel name, and you won't find them. Google won't serve them to you. So I created an app called the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app that feeds you all of those videos. It gives you a featured video every day. It has your top 21 questions, which are all the questions that you're going to ask me today. There are in that 21 questions. And when you click it, up come all of the videos that YouTube will not serve you. It's also a model showing you how it works, how star rotations work, how the sky is a perfect clock. The sun keeps track of the hours and the days. The moon keeps track of the moon and its phases and position, keeps track of the weeks and the months. And the stars and their position keep track of the seasons and the years. It's a sky is a perfect clock, not a heliocentric beehive of nonsense.
And we can find that app on anywhere we can download apps.
It's on the Apple App Store, and you have to have an iPhone 6 or better. It's on Google Play, which is you have to have 8.0 operating system or better. But Google lately has been making it hard for people that don't already have it to find it. They're serving you a bunch of other flat Earth apps that are made by government-controlled entities that are feeding you bad information. So the best way, if you can't find it, the company name is Blue Water Bay, but if you just go to theflatearthpodcast.com, the link is right there on the main page, and that'll take you to your app store. So theflatearthpodcast.com, click the app. The app is $2.99. It cost me a lot of money to make it, and it's how I support myself, but it's less than a Snapple, and you have it for the rest of your life.
Well, I encourage anybody out there that's listening to download this and support it because it sounds like you put a lot of work into it and it sounds very interesting. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Also, if you're unsure, just read the reviews. Read the reviews. It's one of the highest rated apps in the store. Everyone loves it and everyone says they'd pay more for it. So it's not about selling apps. It's about spreading this information for people. And Google has made it very hard for people to find the information. What would take you, if you spent 500 hours, it's a lot of hours researching Flat Earth, you'd probably find 2 hours worth of good content. But on the app, if you spent 2 hours researching, you're going to get 2 hours of the best content. So if your time, if your other 498 hours aren't worth it, worth $2-$3, I don't think you should be researching Flat Earth because you probably have other issues.
If we could take a pause there for a second, speaking of research and information, if you could tell anybody who's listening that could be interested in this topic, how to find you and how to find your channel so they can dig deeper into this, I think this would be a good time to do so.
My website, Instagram, Facebook page, all by the same name, The Flat Earth Podcast, then theflatearthpodcast.com. My YouTube channel, excuse me. My YouTube channel is DITRH. It's just the initials for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. I have lots of short videos. Most of my videos are under 5 minutes there. And they'll just bring you in and you'll start to see. But the best way is to get the app and watch the daily video every day for 2 weeks. I have a challenge for anyone that thinks this is the dumbest topic ever. Watch the daily video every day for 2 weeks. I do short ones during the week, longer ones on the weekend. Watch it for 2 weeks. And then if you still think the earth is a globe and can send me one proof that the earth is a spinning globe, I will give you a Bitcoin.
Wow.
Pretty good deal.
That is a pretty good deal. Pretty good challenge.
Yep.
So, let me ask you. All right. I mean, obviously, we've talked before and you said you've not always, you not always were on board with this.
Just like everybody else. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
What was the turning point? What was the turning point for you?
I was sick of people sending me flat earth stuff saying, Dave, you have to look into this. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I've got more important things. What difference does the shape of the earth make, even if it was real, to my daily life? I still have to go to work tomorrow. That was my attitude. And then my fellow researcher, Sophia Smallstorm, I was talking to her about some deceptions that were going on in the news. And I was baffled that day. I was like, there's so much deception in the news. It's mind blowing. And she goes, oh, David, it's worse than that. I think the earth might be flat. And I'm like, not you too. And she's like, here, watch these videos. And she sent me a series of videos by Mark Sargent, who put out a series called Flat Earth Clues. And basically, Mark had fallen into this rabbit hole and like, all right, there's something wrong here. And he found all of these problems with the globe. So he made a series of short, you know, very short videos asking the question, like, how is this possible on a globe? How is this possible? How is this possible? So he made these short videos expecting that some PhD, some scientists would come back and go, oh, here's how it's possible. But he kept putting out more and more clues and no PhDs, no scientists, nobody had a decent answer. And then it just spiraled from there. So then I started researching it deeper and I was like, all right. And I kept coming across all of these long distance photography videos saying, hey, if you use the Earth curve calculator, the scientific, you know, agreed upon Earth curve calculator, there should be X amount of surge, you know, X amount of curvature at certain distances. So I spent, $900 on a super zoom camera because our consumer optics have outgrown their lies. And I was sitting at the beach. I sat down at the shoreline. It's, you know, like 2 feet off the water. And I was like, okay, according to the Earth curve calculator, the buoy that I know is out there that, you know, at whatever distance should be, 60 feet below the curvature. And I zoomed in and there's the buoy. Not only can I see the buoy, I can see the surface of the water for dozens of miles beyond the buoy, where there should be hundreds of feet of curvature. And I can see too far. So again and again and again. So I started looking, I'm like, okay, what about Eratosthenes and the sticks and shadows? And I found out, well, that doesn't prove anything because it works perfectly on a flat earth. And the more I looked, the more I found that the heliocentric system is complete and total nonsense. And it's a hard pill to swallow because, you know, you bring up flat earth 6 years ago, you just could put in the moron camp, you know, but now you bring it up. People are like, you know, I've heard stuff about that. Tell me more. And it's growing at a rate so fast that I think the elite are actually panicking because flat earth is their, you know, the hiding the flat earth is how they keep control of our minds. They have us in a prison. That prison is called the globe. It's a prison with invisible fences. We think that there's nothing more to discover. If you remember the Truman Show, the True Man Show, Truman said, I want to be an explorer. And the teacher pulled down the map and goes, sorry, Truman, everything's been discovered, right? That's the globe. We live on an endless, possibly endless plane where there could be extra territory, extra terra beyond Antarctica. In the outer space.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought about that.
that they've gatekept our minds with the belief of aliens from outer space and all sorts of stuff. You know, I believe there are extraterrestrials, and they come from the extra terra beyond Antarctica, in the outer space beyond Antarctica. And, you know, if there are extraterrestrials coming here and abducting people and, you know, probing them, they're probably coming. They leave their house in the morning and they come, they probe a couple people, and then they go back home and they make it home for dinner. Right? They're not traveling trillions of impossible miles through the impossible space vacuum. They're traveling across the Earth plane.
It's actually pretty smart if you think about it.
It's ridiculously simple, and it makes 1,000%. You can't even say it makes 1,000% more sense, because the heliocentric model is ridiculous.
So what? Well, why would the elite want to close our minds like that, in your opinion?
Control. It's all about control. Look what's going on in the world right now. They have people believing that if you get within 6 feet of somebody that's healthy, that you're going to die. They've disconnected us, because they know that if we all unite together like the world used to be in the 1800s, they would have no control over us. So they separated us, because the power of our minds are how this world works. When we unite, we're super powerful, and they don't want us to know where we live. They want us to believe that we're on an insignificant speck flying through an infinite universe, out of control, where there's so many things that could kill us at any moment that we literally live our lives in fear. But the truth is, there's nothing to be afraid of. Nuclear bombs, nonsense. Volcanoes, nonsense. Food shortages, running out of dinosaur juice, ridiculous. Okay. All of this stuff is meant to keep us in fear. And then we're also in a prison where we don't realize, hey, there's more. There's more here. They don't want us to know that we're at the center of creation, because once you realize that, you realize, well, there is a creator. I'm not a random speck. There's more to this world than they're telling us, and that nobody has dominion over you. They want us to believe that they have dominion over us, but they don't. We have God-given free will. And no one's allowed to take it from us unless we willingly give it to them. And they've tricked us into giving it away.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be total control then, wouldn't it?
It certainly is. And it's their most important lie, because, you know, I'm going to a Flat Earth conference in South Carolina next week. There's going to be hundreds of us there. And it's amazing. They don't want us getting together like that. They've literally separated us. They've made it now so you can't walk within 6 feet of somebody. You can't see their face. You can't smile at people. Think about what that's doing to relationships. Every relationship starts with a smile. And now it's more of a like, oh my God, cover your face. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's unbelievable what's going on in this world. And the answer is, if we ever get our freedom back, how long can we keep it if we're the ones that don't know where we are or who we are or what this place is?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy how the disconnection has been at a rapid rate, not just with, you know, today's society, but with just life in general.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So really, you know, are we going to have our creativity? Are we going to have our self freedom, you know, things like that? Or are we just going to be, you know, in autopilot and just being shuffled around pretty much in that box and never being allowed to?
Right. You, and by the way, they don't want us to know the power of our minds. Our minds create our world. Everything that everybody has in their life is due to the way that they think. You know, there's people that just have a certain way of thinking that they're living in whatever lifestyle that is creating for them, but they don't want us to be able to create. And, you know, shifting off the topic a little bit, I believe that this mRNA jab that they're offering is going to stop people's ability to co-create, to use their minds. It's going to literally disconnect them from source and not be able to feel their way into things. So it's a crazy world we live in right now, and we are literally in the middle of what they call the Great Reset, and it happens every 100 years. Right, you know, in 2020 everyone's wearing masks and everyone's getting the jab. In 1920 we had the Spanish flu. Everybody was wearing masks, everyone was getting mass vaccinated, and there was a massive die-off, way bigger than what they tell us in the history books. 1820 there was cholera. 1720 there was the plague. every 100 years, the humanity starts to wake up and they cull the population. And they start it by killing all of the old people so there's no memory. And then they indoctrinate the young people and they restart society again and again and again every 100 years.
So you definitely think it's a population control thing.
It's an information control thing. And the way they do it is, you know, they're going to knock off all of the old people, and it's happening right now. And then there's nobody that can remember the old world because they're all gone. And then the only thing that kids are going to know today that are brought up is tyranny. They're never going to know freedom. They're never going to know what real freedom was. You know, everyone, you know, is living in this world where they realize they have to work half the year for the government. Half the money they make goes to the government. Well, there was a time where that never existed, but nobody remembers that because everyone alive will be dead. And, you know, there's people have no idea about our past. Our past is so different than you can imagine. In my app, the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, if you click the web button on the bottom right, one of the buttons is Tartaria and the mud floods. And that basically shows you some of our history. And it is mind-blowing stuff. Everything you ever learned in school about our history is a complete and total lie.
Really? Could you give me a couple of examples?
Christopher Columbus didn't discover America. When he came here, some of the greatest buildings were already here. There was advanced civilization worldwide in the 1800s. They had airships bigger than aircraft carriers traveling across the earth. There's pyramids all across the earth besides Giza that are all lined up with the belt, Orion's belt. There was free energy technology here. There was the worldwide civilization called Tartaria, and there's maps and all sorts of proof of it. And you never heard about it in school, not once. Antarctica was iceless at one point, and there was mass civilizations there. There was everything they told us about our past is nonsense. The Wild West, nonsense. Okay. There was, the World's Fairs were a takeover of, the previous round of civilization, and there was free energy. People were free. The world was united. The technology was more organic, and we were all connected to nature. That's just the beginning. But again, you know, if you click that Tartaria button, the transcontinental railroads were not built. They were excavated from the last generation, the last civilization. We're taught that the 1800s, you know, everyone had horses and buggies, but the buildings and churches and stuff that they built then with these giant stones, and we can barely build them today with the greatest cranes, but we're supposed to believe that they were all built with horse and buggy? It's nonsense. And when you look at any of the images from back then, there's like very few adults, lots of kids, very few adults. What they do is they reset society, and then they basically, there was a cataclysm in the 1800s that caused these mud floods. And they basically dug out part of the world and repopulated it. Many of the great buildings, if you go into their basements, you'll see that they go way underground and there's windows down there looking into the mud. So the whole world is not what they said it was. And some of the buildings that you come here in America have giant doors and giant pillars and giant rooms and windows way higher than a friggin' 7 foot tall man could see out of. If you had a 7 foot tall man. So what is that saying? There was giants here. Everything that they tell us is a lie. Everything. The Smithsonian, which everyone's, oh, Smithsonian, that's a nice museum. The Smithsonian is here to make sure nothing ever gets on display. You discover some giant bones in your backyard, they call the police, call the museum, the Smithsonian will thank you, they'll take them, and then you'll never see them again, and they'll never be on display.
So what's the chances that majority of the bones and stuff in the Smithsonian are actually authentic?
Zero.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the dinosaurs, none of them are real. They even admit that they're not real. And the whole dinosaur thing is another hoax. It's to make you believe that an asteroid could wipe out the Earth. The guy in the 1800s, a royal guy who wrote a paper on the idea of dinosaurs. No dinosaur had ever been discovered before, you know, even with all of the construction of pyramids and whatever. There's never ever mention of giant reptiles. This guy writes a paper on it, and then a year later, to the day, he discovers the first dinosaur.
I'm genuinely curious, so I don't want this to come off sounding offensive.
Go ahead.
How do you explain fossils?
What kind of fossils? What are you talking about?
You know, like dinosaur bones and stuff like that that they excavate. Or
yeah, so carbon dating is nonsense. It doesn't. They're so wrong. We've tested them by giving them something that's supposed to be 10 million years old, and they came back with 10,000 years old. because, you know, it's a nonsense science. So it's not really science. It's pseudoscience. And when they're not finding fossils. I mean, yes, things get fossilized, but they're not from tens of millions of years ago or 100 million years ago. And the dinosaur bones, they're finding like a vertebrae bone on the top of a mountain. And they're like, whoa, this must be a dinosaur. And they extrapolate a friggin' Tyrannosaurus Rex out of it. No dinosaur skull has ever been found, ever. None. And the structure of these animals make no sense. They physically would not work. How do stegosauruses mate? How do, you know, a brontosaurus, it wouldn't be, its guts would fall out of its stomach. All of this stuff is physically impossible. And they can't imagine that it's a whalebone because it's on top of a mountain. But if you understand how the earth works, there was a great flood and the world was flooded and whales could have gone to the top of mountains. But when they find just one bone, they extrapolate a ridiculous dinosaur out of it. And it's all made up. It's all made up in the 1800s.
And that would be about the about the time of the last Great Reset?
Yeah, we don't know when it was. It appears there's a Great Reset, you know, every 150, 200 years, somewhere around there. We're due. And, you know, maybe all of this climate engineering is to try to hold it off. Maybe they know it's coming. Maybe they're locking us down because they want control of us when it happens. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, kill all the old people right now. It's hard to say. Don't know. But my belief is nothing's set in stone and that as long as they control our minds, they'll win. As soon as we free our minds, we win. It's like The Matrix, the documentary with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
As soon as he unplugged from The Matrix, he freed himself, and he no longer fed into the system. We're all plugged into The Matrix, and that Matrix is the globe. Our brains are trapped in that globe, and we've limited our abilities because of our belief of where we are, who we are, what we are, and the power that we have.
So as far as the flat earth goes, how do you distinguish, you know, the different theories, what's true and what's evolved into different beliefs?
Well, there's lots of speculation, but what I always say is anything beyond 60 degrees south, beyond the shoreline of Antarctica, is speculation, right? There's lots of evidence, but we'll just say it's speculation, and anything above 70 miles or so is all speculation. But we don't need those things to prove the earth is flat. We just look at water. Water is testably, measurably, provably, scientifically flat, and it does not move. And we're not on the outside of a spinning ball. Gravity has been proven to be a theory, and it needs 96% dark matter and dark energy to even make it slightly work, and it still doesn't work. But we can scientifically prove that a dielectric attraction from electricity is what causes the downward force here on Earth. And in the app, if you click the What About Gravity button, there's some videos there that explain it better than I can.
Okay. So.
It's a lot, right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it before I move on and then ask more things. You asked me a question prior to this interview as to why I believe it might be round, and I had to really think about it, and to be honest with you, I didn't come up with a good answer, and I had to look up why it could be round. And what I came up with was spinning motion and centrifugal force. Can you comment on that?
Well, science tells us because of the spin of the earth, the centrifugal force, that the water bulges 14 miles high at the equator. And I used to think, wow, that makes a lot of sense. That's the coolest thing ever. 14 miles high. Well, an airplane flies at about 5 miles high. So if you're flying from the United States down to South America, at what point do you triple your altitude just to skim over a hump of water? Okay. And the answer is never, because water lays flat. And the other thing is, if it's 14 miles high, how come that bulge of water doesn't cover Central Africa? Right? The Africa is not 14 miles high. Everest isn't even 14 miles high. So why doesn't that bulge of water ring the whole earth? It's only bulging in the, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's the dumbest thing ever. But that's what science tells us. And science is just a word. They're really pseudoscientists.
Okay. So what happens if you keep traveling from one end of the earth to the other?
So the earth is a giant lake. Just think of it as a giant lake.
Okay, I'm with you.
And our world, we live on this lake. We have all the islands, they're continents. So any straight line, no matter what direction you take off in, is south. It will become south within a short distance of time. If you try to head east and you don't keep correcting to the north, you're heading south. If you try to head west, you're heading south. South is every direction away from the center. The magnet is at the center, and south is every direction away from the center. Just get a compass and move it around, you'll see. South is every direction away. If I headed north from Connecticut, as soon as I pass the North Pole, I'm heading south, even though I didn't change direction. So every straight line is south. Now, when we get to the edge of the lake, not the edge of a pancake, the edge of the lake, there's Antarctica. It's really high. It's the highest land on earth. Its shelf is like 200 feet over the boat that you showed up on. So you climb up there. Now you're on Antarctica. You're not allowed to go explore. You can go for, you know, Admiral Byrd flew out there for thousands of miles, and he said there's land bigger than the United States, filled with resources that no human has ever stepped foot on, right? And then he died, okay? And no one else has been able to go there. The treaty is in place until the year 2041. No corporation, no person, nobody is allowed to independently explore the outer lands of Antarctica, the outer space, if you will. So what's out there? Can only speculate. Some people think there's a dome. I think there's a dome. Some people think there's a dome on top of a dome on top of a dome, and there's other worlds in between. Some people think there's puddles out there. Some people think this is it, and the dome terminates. And if you look at, you know, if you want to reference the Bible, page one of the Bible says God separated the waters from the waters with the firmament. Well, there's your firmament. That's the dome. And we're living inside of a pressurized bubble. Got me. Can't go there. So it's all speculation.
Okay. Because a lot of the pictures I'm seeing has a flat lake-like map and then has a dome over top of it.
Yep. And a lot of the pictures you're seeing have that floating in space. And that's not, there is no such thing as space. There is no space.
Okay, so that's a good transition to what I was going to ask you next. So if there's no space, I was going to have you touch base on what you thought about the sun and the moon and the other planets. Are they also flat? Are they not real?
Yeah, they're well, there's something that we see. But, you know, if you think about what Mars is this dusty, dirty, sandy planet. And it's so far away from the sun compared to us that the sun is tiny. The sun is very, very small from Mars. But somehow that small, less than 10 sun can bounce the light off of Mars and shine back to Earth. And it looks brighter than any star in the sky. It looks like it almost as bright as the sun, just smaller.
Right.
How is Mars so friggin' reflective? The truth is that if you take our consumer optics that we have now that have outgrown their lives and we zoom in on Mars, you'll see that it's a pulsing orb of energy right here within the Earth system. The only photos, there are no photos, the only images that we have of other planets come from Disney and NASA. And Disney's more credible than NASA at this point. So all of these things are here within the Earth system. They used to be called wandering stars, but then they changed them to planets, which is very similar to the word plane with a cross at the end. So what are planets? Well, they're all named after demigods, so I don't know what they are. They're luminaries within our sky. And the only thing that we can truthfully say about anything that we see in the sky other than known aircraft is that they're lights. We don't know. They're luminaries. They're here on a path. They go on a path that we can predict where they're going to be at any time in the past or future, right? we have the Earth, which is held on to the sun by gravity, and then the moon, which is held on to the Earth by gravity. The sun ignores the moon, but when the moon passes in between the sun and the Earth, the sun's gravity ignores the moon and doesn't rip it away from Earth or even nudge it, because the moon is always where it's supposed to be. The sun is always where it's supposed to be. All of that, we have 80 some odd objects in our solar system, and none of them interfere with each other. We had the great alignment where, how could they all align? The sun's holding on to all of them. They're holding on to all of their moons, but they never interact with each other. What is this, gravity specific? You know, the sun only has planet gravity and planets only have moon gravity. None of that makes any sense. You can take the world's best supercomputer and you can model and say, okay, I've got a sun, it's got this much gravity. I've got a little planet, it's got this much gravity. You can set them in motion and it'll work like a perfect timepiece forever. But then as soon as you add one more body, a moon or another planet, into that system, the entire model breaks down, goes into random mode, and never repeats. Unlike our sky, where the stars repeat every year, the sun and the moon, they go on their journeys, they repeat. Eclipses repeat every 18 years. It's a perfectly ordered system because the Earth isn't moving and all the luminaries are on their own paths.
Okay, so you're saying that they're not like any kind of physical...
Correct.
Okay. Wow.
But they're small. You know, they say Venus is the size of Earth. I say Venus is the size of a basketball. You can't prove either one of them true.
Without actually going out there and physically...
Yeah. Nobody's been out there. Nobody's taken off on rockets. Rockets are, rockets are real, but rockets with humans in them are not real.
It's going back and taking somebody's word for it.
It's taking a bunch of liars, proven liars. We have, you know, video of them screwing up all the time on the space station, hanging from wires, CGI screw-ups, holding a microphone and it goes right into someone's head, right? They're using green screens and augmented reality. We catch them all the time. Just go into the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, click NASA. What about NASA? And watch the videos there. Your mind will be blown. You'll be like, whoa. And as soon as you catch them lying once about faking anti-gravity on the space station, you can unwind that all the way to, we never went to the moon.
Well, what's your opinion on the SpaceX thing?
SpaceX is the biggest joke on Earth. It's just go watch the latest SpaceX launch. Just go to search SpaceX launch, launch search by upload date. There's like a 2-minute video showing the launch. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's a combination of CGI, a helium balloon. It's the worst thing ever. It's so bad that Elon Musk just tweeted the other day. What did he say? He said, let me pull up the tweet actually, because it's so horrible that that you can't even fathom what the hell they're doing. The when he did his Tesla launch into space, he said in the press conference immediately following, he goes, you can tell it's real because it looks so fake. Quote. So Elon, yeah, that's what he said. And we'd have better CGI. He just tweeted about this last launch. The simulation really struggled to make this look real. Ha ha. And this is what they showed us as the launch.
He really put that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dude, just go watch the recent launch, and it looks like a freaking grain silo. It's the dumbest thing. This thing empty weighs 40,000 pounds, and the little bit of fire, watch the smoke coming off of it. It's like, it's not even moving. It's floating. And then when you watch it, they show you two views, one from the ground and one from the rocket itself looking down, and it's literally almost in outer space, but somehow they have a side view of it from the ground. Are you kidding me? It's probably like 150 feet in the air.
This is the guy that wants to build a hotel in the space.
Yeah. All of that is nonsense, right? They want to go to Mars, right? To expand the human race. They want to go to Mars. So they got to get everything to Mars. Then they have to build a dome world and somehow get oxygen in it and grow food and make air and all of this stuff. Why don't they just build a dome in Ethiopia? They already have air. We're close to the sun. We have water. We have electricity. You can do it all. It's all here. Why don't they just build a fake world in the uninhabitable spots here on Earth? It's way better than Mars. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's all to keep our minds in this jail. And eventually they're trying to put a new world order, one world government. And my guess is that in the next year, a couple of years, maybe by 2024, they're going to fake an alien invasion and the whole world will unite into a one world government without anyone complaining.
That's scary.
Yeah. They want you to be scared. All right, man, we got to wrap it up.
All righty. Well, I thank you for your time. I really do. This has been a blast and a lot to really wrap your head around. Yeah, absolutely.
No problem. Keep researching. The best way is literally my app, the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. Or you can just go to my YouTube, DITRH, or the Facebook, The Flat Earth Podcast, and just start watching the videos there. You'll see, you know, the Flat Earth Podcast or the Flat Earth Clock app Facebook page. Tons of videos there. And just check it out. Once you see, you can't unsee.
Yes, absolutely. And I will do more extensive research on this because I'm fascinated. And you opened my mind up here. And I'm interested to see where this goes. And
where are you located?
Where am I located? I'm in Ohio.
Okay.
So I am I'm looking forward to chatting with you some more about this. And I hope to have you back on the show. And I encourage anybody who's listening to check you out, follow you, and I thank you for your time. And
all right, man. Well. Thanks for the chat. Have a great day.
Hey, you too.
All right, bye bye.
Well, I hate that our time with David had to be cut short, but he is a very busy guy, and I thank him nonetheless for the conversation and information that he shared with us. If you want to follow David, I will have his information posted in the bio of this episode. Again, I know it has been quite a while, but I am committed to bringing life back into the bunker and putting out more shows with more guests with more topics. If you have any requests, contact me and I will do my best to research it. But for now, that about wraps up another episode of the Rabbit Hole Wanderer podcast. Thank you all for stopping by and checking it out. If you enjoyed, please comment, like, and click subscribe and share the word. Follow me on social media for updates and coverages of things to come. I'm on Instagram at @RHWandererPod, Twitter at @PodRHW, and Facebook at facebook.com/RHWPod. You can also email me at thenomad513@yahoo.com. And always heed this message. We must wake up and open our minds.